Good morning and Merry Christmas, everyone. Today's Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 9 and Luke chapter 2, verses from 1 to 20. First, I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 9 from verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 2, from verses from 1 to 20. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Mahendra. Let me pray for us. Father, we pray that this Christmas you would help us to see, perhaps for the very first time, the true meaning of Christmas. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The things that I love about Christmas have to do with being together. Don't you love being together? Isn't today a wonderful day where we can be together? We sing carols together. We hear the message of Christmas together. Today we'll visit family or loved ones. We'll see people that we know. We'll eat together. Christmas is about being together. And one reason that Christmas can be so painful is because we can be on our own and we can be lonely. I hope that's not you today. If it is you, let me know and we'll see if we can organise something for you today. But one thing that's kept us apart is COVID. And I couldn't visit my dad in hospital this week because of COVID. I don't even know if my own brother is able to come to Christmas lunch today because of a potential close contact. Masks put distance between us. And COVID has worked to ruin Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everyone, and I hope it's okay for you. But COVID has impacted this year yet again. It's left us feeling drained and aching and weary. And it's not just COVID. There's so many things that are happening in our world that make us feel apart. Do you realise there are about 48 wars being fought at the moment throughout our world? Wars in regions like the Tigray region in Ethiopia. There's the Taliban conflict in Afghanistan. There's the crisis in Yemen. There's the Sudan. And where's the togetherness? And what about what happened in Devonport, Tasmania last week? 6 children died in a jumping castle tragedy. Their families won't be all together this Christmas. Where's the togetherness? And we don't even have togetherness within ourselves. Within ourselves, we often feel turmoil and conflict. We look back on our past and we have regrets. We struggle with our own weaknesses. We have anxiety about the future. We can't even hold ourselves together. Where's the togetherness? And so this morning, we're going to reclaim the togetherness. We've partly done it by being here this morning. Isn't that great? But Christmas is about being together. And we're going to be reminded of that in the words of the very first Christmas carol. That night on the very first Christmas when a whole army of angels filled the night sky and scared the living daylights out of a group of unsuspecting shepherds. And what did they sing? Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Now, my aim this morning is not to be eloquent or classy. The regular members here can be the judge of whether I do that anyway, Sunday to Sunday. My aim this morning is to be clear and to give you clarity about these three things. We're going to hear this morning, first of all, that Christmas is about being together. And secondly, we'll hear, why don't we have it? Why don't we have this togetherness? And then thirdly, how do we get it? How do we get together? All right? Christmas is about being together. Why we don't have it? How do we get it? So first, Christmas is about being together. Now, when the angels sung those words, they didn't use the word together. They used a different word, which is pretty close, I think. It's the word peace. Peace. They sing glory to God in the highest and peace. Where? Peace in the heavens? No, peace on earth. Peace on earth. Can you believe that? In other words, the angels believed that this peace was for us right here, right now, on the earth. It's tangible, it's concrete. That they weren't talking about an ideal. They weren't talking about something which was unattainable. They weren't like John Lennon. Remember John Lennon's song, Imagine? He sung, imagine all the people living in peace. Can you imagine it? You might say, I'm a dreamer. I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. That's what John Lennon imagined, peace on earth. But see, when the angels sung peace, they weren't being dreamers. They were singing about peace on earth. In other words, it's possible to have it. And that's what this baby came to bring, this baby Jesus. What is the peace that they sung about? It wasn't an end to all wars. It wasn't about feeling good on the inside. No, they were singing about something else. Listen to the verse again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Peace to who? To those on whom his favour rests. See, the angels were singing about having favour with God. Okay, and that implies there are people that have good favour with God, and there are those who are out of favour with God. See, the peace that the angels were singing about is peace between people and God. About us having a harmonious relationship with God. Us and God together. There's our theme. Christmas is about us and God being together. Another writer in the Bible puts it like this in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. That's what it's about. And that's what Charles Wesley wrote about when he wrote that famous hymn that we'll sing at the end of our service this morning, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He said, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's the peace. That's the togetherness that God is offering. It's God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners at one. See, the very first Christmas is God saying to us, I don't want to fight you anymore. I don't want there to be distance between us. I want us to be together. Now, I want you to appreciate that this takes a miracle for that to take place. This is actually a holy God who is perfect and pure in all that he does, all that he says. And he's saying to sinful people, he's saying, I have no fault with you anymore. I want us to be together. This is God saying to us, I know you don't make the grade. I know that you're a sinner. I know that you're not a 10 out of 10. But for us to be reconciled, for us to be together, I need to look at you and see a 10 out of 10. I see a beauty. That's what he needs to see. He needs perfect peace. God and sinners truly reconciled. God and sinners together. Now, you might think this morning, this isn't for me. You might reject this offer that God has, but you have to admit one thing. You have to admit that this is truly amazing. To have God and sinners reconciled. That's a miracle for that to take place. And Christmas is God saying, I want us to be together. Now, the average person doesn't understand this because many people think the way to get peace with God is by doing what? What do you think people do to get peace with God? You know what they do? They appease their conscience. They try harder. They pray longer. They make sacrifices. They go into religious buildings, right? They try harder and harder to be good, and they think, if I'm good enough, then I'll have peace with God, and God and us will be together. But that's not what the angels are offering. The angels are offering perfect peace without trying harder. That seems too good to be true, doesn't it? Now, I know something about you guys. I know you've come here to feel good. And it's right to come here to feel good and to celebrate the joy that we have at Christmas. But you know that I'm a preacher, right? And I've got to help you to understand something that could make you feel bad, all right? That's not my intention, but I do, as I said, my intention is clarity. It's not eloquence. My intention is to be clear. And I want to convince you that you need this gift that I'm about to tell you about. This gift that brings us and God together. And do you realize there are some gifts that people give us which show what that person thinks of us? You realize that? Whenever someone gives you a gift, they're showing you what they think of you. Can you imagine you get up for Christmas morning and you're in your jammies and you are handed a Christmas present and you open it and here's what you find. Oh, it's not on there. Here's what you find. You find inside it's a bottle of anti-wrinkle cream. And you think, what? I didn't realize that was a problem that I had, but you keep that thought to yourself and you put the present away and you smile through your teeth and then you get handed another present And you open that present, and inside, as you open it, you find that it's a book on how to diet. And you look down at your gut and you think, okay, and you put that book aside. What's going on here? And then you get your final present and you open it. And inside that present, as you open it, you think, oh, surely this will redeem the last two presents. And you open it, and inside is a bottle of mouthwash. Now, let me ask you something. What does that person who is giving you those presents think of you? You know what they think of you? They think of you as a wrinkly, fat person who has bad breath. See, my point is, presents have a way of showing you who you are and showing you what you need. And this present that God has to give for us is no different. This present that God has for us shows us what he thinks of us. And I'm telling you, and the Bible is telling us, that this present is God offering us being together. You know what that means he thinks of us? It means that he thinks we're apart. It means that he thinks that there's distance between us. It means that he thinks that we've had a falling out. And so why don't we have this togetherness? Why aren't we and God together? It's because our relationship has fallen apart, actually. God thinks our relationship has fallen apart. He thinks we've had a falling out. And he thinks that we are at war with him, actually. That's how serious it is. Think of it this way. Imagine if after this service you came home to your nice house and you walked in the front door and you looked under the Christmas tree and there were all your presents that you'd spent hours and hours wrapping up the night before. They were all unwrapped and they were all open and scattered around the place. And there were some missing, you know, the new Rolex watch that you'd brought for someone was gone and the diamond ring was missing and under the Christmas tree there was a trail of gingerbread crumbs. And you thought, what's going on here? And you followed the crumbs and you go out into the kitchen and there sitting at the kitchen table is me. And I'm eating your gingerbread cookies. I'm, you know, tucking into your finest Christian Chardonnay that you've saved for Christmas Day. I'm eating your Christmas ham. What would you think of me? What would you think? What would you want to do to me? When you'd be shocked. You'd be thinking, man, he got here fast. The preacher got here to my plate. What's he doing? It'd probably be my first Christmas talking to the police. And it would probably be my first Christmas in hospital, depending on how big you are, right? And you'd be offended by what I had done, wouldn't you? You'd be rightly offended. Wouldn't it be right to say that there would be a barrier between you and me because of what I've done? And I couldn't just say sorry to make up for it. That wouldn't put things right. I would need to pay the bill for what I've done. I would need to pay for the damages that I've cost you. Something has to be done. Now look, what would you say if I said to you that, do you realize that that's how you and I have treated the creator of the universe? Do you realize that this is actually his world? And he made this world, and we are guests in his house, and we eat his food, and we drink his water, and we breathe his air, and we don't even acknowledge him. We don't even speak to him. We ignore him. We don't love him the way we should, and we mistreat the people that he's made. We abuse the people that he's made in his image. We live as though he doesn't exist. And what I'm saying is, and what the Bible is saying is that because of our behavior, there's a gap between us and God, you see? There's a big gap. In fact, it's an infinite gap because we're dealing with an infinite God. And something has to be done. You can't just say sorry and you can't just make up for your mistake. Something has to pay for the damage that's been done. And this is why we don't have us and God together. That's why there's distance between us. It's because of our behavior. Simon put it quite well, didn't he? It's called sin, S-I-N, and it's about selfishness. It's about us living for ourselves. And that's the sad news. But let me tell you the good news. Let me tell you what Christmas is all about. So stay with me on this last point. How do we get the togetherness with God?
How do we get it?
How do us sinful people get together with a holy God? And that's where Christmas comes in. It started on the very first Christmas. See, the good news of Christmas is that God has done something to bridge the gap. God has done something to take down the barrier that's between us and him so that we can have peace with God. What's happened? What did God do? Let me explain it this way. Do you ever notice when you're in an argument with someone that there's a lot of accusation and finger pointing that goes on when you're having a conflict with someone? An argument usually goes like this. Someone says, "Look at what you did." And then another person says, "It wasn't me, it was you." And the other person gets their goat up and they say, "No, it wasn't, you did it. You're not listening to me." And the other person says, "You're not listening to me. It was definitely your fault." And there's a lot of finger pointing that goes on. And what happens in that situation? What happens is there's distance between those two people. The relationship falls apart. Neither side will admit their blame. No one will give in. No one will admit they're in the wrong. No one will make themselves vulnerable. Lower themselves. And while that doesn't happen, there's a gap in the relationship. This kind of conflict can happen between friends, it can happen in families, it can happen between countries. Distance between us and people. But sometimes the conversation goes like this. Listen to this conversation. Someone says, "Look at what you did." And another person says, "It wasn't me, it was you." And the other person says, "No, it wasn't, you did it." And the other person says, "No, it was definitely you." And the first person says, "Actually, you're right. It was me." See, when one person admits fault, what happens to the relationship? The relationship begins to heal. And what that person does, do you see what that person does? They lower themselves. They make themselves vulnerable. They let down their defenses. And they're saying, "I'm going to take the blame." And do you realize Christmas was the time that even though God was in the right and we were in the wrong, Christmas was the time when God started to say, "I'm going to take the blame. Even though you're in the wrong and I'm in the right," God said, "I'm going to take the blame. Look what you did. But I'm going to make myself vulnerable. I'm the one who's going to humble myself. And I'm going to pay the cost for the damages that you've done. I'm going to make myself so vulnerable, says God, that you can kill me." And so God became a baby. And the baby became a man. And the man, Jesus Christ, was killed on that cross. And when he died on that cross, you know what he did? He paid the debt for the damages that we've done for our behavior against God. And he closed the gap. You know, the book of Isaiah puts it like this: the punishment that brought us peace was on him. So now, on this day, you can have peace on earth. You can have peace with God. You and God can be together. See, Christmas was the time when God surrendered, and he surrendered his own son for us so that we can be friends with God. God and sinners truly reconciled us and God together right here, right now. What a great gift that he's offered us. No wonder the angels sang peace on earth and goodwill to mankind. Now, let me finish by saying in this room right now, there were two kinds of people, you realize? Only two. There were two kinds of people. There are those who have taken the peace deal with God. And they've said to God, "God, I want to be together with you. I want us to be reconciled. I trust in your son Jesus, and I want your forgiveness." Okay? And if you've done that, if you've made that step of trusting in God, can I say to you, can I encourage you, as the Bible encourages you, as you go about your relationships today, not just today, but as you live your life, be that person in your personal relationships who humbles yourself. Are you in a relationship where there's conflict at the moment? You be the person who lowers yourself. You be the person who makes yourself vulnerable to that other person because that's what your God has done for you. You see? God and us reconciled. That's one kind of person. The other kind of person who is the person who is here today, and you're still at war with God. You may not realize it, and today might be the first time you realize, hey, I think I'm actually at war with God. I don't think about him. He's not the center of my life. I eat his food and I drink his water and I don't even thank him. And, you know, you might think that your main problem is that you didn't go to Sunday school as a kid. That's not your main problem. Our main problem is that we're at war with God, and why not make this Christmas the first time when you make peace with God? And you can do it today, you realize. The thing you need to, the first step is admitting that you've been in the wrong, and to admit that you've not been on his side, and to tell him you're sorry for ignoring him, but then to put your trust in Jesus for bridging the gap and making peace with you. Believe that he died for you for your crimes against God. Tell God something like this. Tell him, God, I'm sorry I've been at war with you. I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to bring me peace with you, and thank you that it cost you your son who came as a baby, so fragile and helpless, to die for my offense and help me to make the Prince of Peace my ruler. Why don't you do that today? Pray a prayer like that to him. Friends, what do you want for Christmas? You know what the real gift is? Us and God together. True togetherness. That's what Jesus is offering us right now. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that on the very first Christmas, you came to bring us peace with you. And the heavens glorified you for doing that. The angels sung praises to you for doing that. And Father, we want to sing praises to you as well. And we're so thankful that the war can stop. We can be reconciled to you because Jesus was sent for us. We thank you in his